And one of those maps was of a river that eventually was linked to the Congo and became the navigable river down which colonialism came. So unwittingly and unintentionally, Livingstone was actually an agent of colonialism.
That's Patina Gapa, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. In addition to being a writer, Patina Gapa is a lawyer specializing in international trade and investment. Her previous books include An Elegy for Easterly, The Book of Memory, and Rotten Row. She currently lives in Harare, Zimbabwe. She joins us to talk about her latest novel, Out of Darkness, Shining Light. Patina, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Now, this is a novel that you have been wanting to write for many years, I understand. So tell us about what inspired you to write this novel.
Well, as a child, I was very fascinated by the Victorian explorers in Africa. And in fact, I thought that when I grew up, I would go out and find the source of the Nile myself. I didn't realize at the time that the source of the Nile had been located, both sources of the Nile, actually, the White Nile and the Blue Nile. So I was fascinated by the idea of exploration. But as I grew older and I learned more about the history of my country, the history of my continent, I became much more fascinated by the stories of the people that I didn't learn about in history, and that is the Black Companions, the men who traveled with these explorers. So I began to think of an idea, you know, of writing a novel from the perspective of these particular people who are not written about in history.
So this novel is told by two different people in first person. So tell us a little about those two main characters.
As I did my research, I read a lot of David Livingstone's own journals because he's the man who really fascinated me. And I was particularly interested in what happened to him after his death, which is that his companions prepared him for a 9-month trek from the interior to the east coast of Africa. And the more I read into this story, the more I understood just how many different people traveled with that body. There were about 69 or 70 people who traveled with the body. And I zoomed in on two characters who were particularly fascinating to me. One is a woman called Halima, who was Livingstone's cook. I hadn't known until I started the research that there were actually women who also traveled in these expedition parties. So she narrates the first part of the novel in the first person. And then the second part of the novel, the actual journey itself, is narrated by a freed slave called Jacob Wainwright, who again is a historical figure, and he's the one who actually wrote the epitaph on the grave of Livingstone's heart.
Now, these two characters were impacted by Livingstone in different ways, or at least they came away with different experiences of being with him and being part of his expeditions.
Absolutely. And I had a lot of fun with Halima, who is an uneducated woman who has been a slave all of her life. So her knowledge of the world is actually very limited. She doesn't read, she doesn't write, she doesn't even understand why Livingstone is in Africa in the first place. So to her, Livingstone is a special species of fool. You know, she thinks he's a total idiot. You know, why would anyone leave his own home just to come to Africa to look for the beginning of a river? So she sort of like treats him as a bit of an idiot, you know. Whereas Jacob Wainwright, who is, you know, more educated, he's been freed from bondage, and he's really a very strong Christian to the degree where he's actually drunk the Kool-Aid of Christianity. And he's very censorious in his view of Livingstone, very judgmental, because he doesn't think that Livingstone has done enough to convert people to Christianity.
So I'm curious, obviously this is fiction based on history, but what do you think this novel has to say about the legacy of Livingstone?
It's a very interesting question, Dan, because it's one that I grappled with, not just in the novel, but also just, you know, as I was thinking about Livingstone's life and doing the research, because it's a very mixed legacy. On the one hand, as I say in the novel, when the companions took out his body, they also took out his papers, you know, his maps, the last maps that he had drawn. And one of those maps was of a river that eventually was linked to the Congo and became the navigable river down which colonialism came. So unwittingly and unintentionally, Livingstone was actually an agent of colonialism. But at the same time, he wrote this very moving first witness account of a massacre of women by slave traders in a famous massacre called the Manyema Women Massacre. And that first-hand account was so inflaming to the Victorian public and the government at the time in England that the government actually put pressure on the Sultan of Zanzibar, who at the time had the largest slave market in East Africa, and they put pressure on him to close the slave market. So in a way as well, Livingstone helped to end the slave trade in East Africa. So I would say that his legacy is really a very mixed one.
Now, besides being an engaging read, is there a takeaway for readers? Is there something you want them to learn from this fictional account?
I would say that, firstly, I hope that it's a gripping read, because that's exactly what I was hoping that it would be. I love adventure stories, and I wanted to write a ripping yarn, you know. But also, I'm hoping that readers take away what I took away from my research and from writing this, which is that there are so many untold stories of the African past, stories of glory, stories of bravery, and I'm hoping that people understand that this is one of those stories.
Bettina, there is a question that I like to ask authors of fiction, and it is this. If you could spend a day with one of the characters in your novel, who would it be and why?
Oh, goodness. There's so many unpleasant characters in the novel, though. I think I would like to spend some time with Jacob Wainwright, actually. And the reason for that is that he was the most difficult character for me to write. I didn't initially like him. But the more I got to understand him, and the more I got to sort of like inhabit his point of view, the more I became fascinated by his character, by his personality. So I think Jacob Wainwright is who I would like to spend time with. Unfortunately, it would mean getting a lot of Bible verses, but I think I'm equal to the task.
So what's next for you? Do you have another novel in the works?
It's very kind of you to ask, Dan. I'm very excited about my first play. I wrote a play this year that's going to be performed for the first time in Harare, where I live in Zimbabwe, next week. And I'm also writing a new novel, which is also historical fiction. I've become really enamored of the genre. And yeah, so those are the two things I'm doing right now, writing plays and working on my fifth book.
Bettina, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me today.
And thank you so much, Dan, for reaching out. Thank you very much.
Bettina Gappa's novel is Out of Darkness, Shining Light. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. You can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes, and you'll also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.